We've looked at seven of them already out of the 40. Last week, we looked at faith and discretion. We're doing them alphabetically because I couldn't come up with a better way to do it, because none are more important than others necessarily. So doing it alphabetically today, we look at faithfulness. So faith and faithfulness, obviously two different virtues that God wants us to possess. But today is about faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 4:2, if you want to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. And Mr. Scott will read that for us. And then we'll dive in to faithfulness.
Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful.
Amen. Is anybody here a steward? Are you a born-again Christian?
Yes.
That makes you a steward. Amen? Because God tells us that's all we are, is we're just stewards of everything. God owns everything. We're just stewards, even of our own children, believe it or not. The Bible says children are inheritors of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. We're just stewards. And the Bible says it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithfulness. That's our virtue to start with this morning. Let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom as we look into your precious word, and I pray we'll grow through it together this morning as the Holy Spirit applies it to our hearts and lives, that we would just learn things, Lord, and we would commit to being a Christ-like disciple. Thank you for your word. Use it in our lives now. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. So faithfulness, as far as memory verses go, I try to give you a couple memory verses for each one. This will be a good one. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Next would be 1 Corinthians 15:58. Howard, if you'd read that for us. We looked at this, I believe, in the morning service last week.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
So that word steadfast is another synonym, if you will, for faithfulness. We looked at this again last Sunday morning. God wants us to be faithful or steadfast in our faith. Both of those very good memory verses for faithfulness. So let's talk about it. Let's look at Old Testament, New Testament, and make sure we understand what God requires of us as His stewards, that we be found faithful. So let's dive into the Old Testament as far back as the Numbers, chapter 12, verse 7. We'll ask Mr. Zeus to read that. This is God talking about Moses. And let's see what He had to say about Moses. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 7.
My servant Moses is not so. Who is faithful in all my house?
So way back in the book of Numbers, God is talking about Moses and He says, my servant, which is a privilege, if spoken by God, that we be His servants. My servant, he is faithful. So here God is commending Moses, and He says, he is faithful. That's what we want God to say about us at the judgment, isn't it? Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. While we're in the Old Testament, let's go to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. Mr. Cairns, if you could read that for us. Yes, please.
Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find.
So we're all very good at self-deception, right? We all think we're better than we truly are. We're just wicked sinners saved by grace. Amen. God says most men are happy to proclaim their own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. That's a rhetorical question, isn't it? A faithful man who can find. And then while we're in the Old Testament, Proverbs 28, verse 20, Philip, if you could read that for us.
A faithful man shall abound with wisdom, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent.
So notice God here promises blessings for faithfulness. Now, we get to the New Testament. In Luke chapter 16, God told a parable. And in that parable, he's talking about a servant. We aren't going to read the whole parable. It's talking about a steward. But in that parable, Roy, if you could read for us Luke 16:10, God says, I'm going to teach you that if you're faithful in the little things, which in God's program, money is a little thing. Luke 16 is about money primarily. God's watching us because he wants us to be faithful in all things. So, Roy. So notice God himself saying, he that is faithful in much or in little is faithful in much. In other words, God sometimes even uses little things in our lives like money to test us, to test our faithfulness. Are we going to be faithful in the little things so that God can entrust to us bigger things? But he wants ultimately all of us to be faithful. Now in 2 Timothy 2:2, I'm going to ask Cash to read this very important verse. God here is instructing a pastor, a new pastor at Ephesus named Timothy. You've all heard of him. And in instructing Timothy about who to delegate to in the ministry, look what he says, 2 Timothy 2:2. Not a long list of job requirements there, is it? The things that thou hast heard of me, so this is Paul saying, the things that you've heard of me among many witnesses, so that's another group of people, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So the people that I want you to look for when it comes to delegating, people that are going to teach for you, people that are ultimately maybe going to become pastors themselves, here's what you look for. Faithfulness. Isn't that something? Wasn't a long list, was it? Faithful men. God wants us to be faithful. And our rewards, as I quoted Matthew 25 earlier, are going to be based on partially our faithfulness, aren't they? So it's not as much, if you go to 1 Corinthians 3 quickly, it's not as much the quantity as the quality when it comes to God rewarding us in heaven. Now, most of us know this passage quite well. It's talking about the judgment seat of Christ. It's not talking about whether or not we get into heaven. That has to do with salvation. But this is talking about Jesus rewarding us when we do get to heaven as Christians at the judgment seat. And he says that these rewards are based on the quality of what we've done for him. Notice verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 3. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So that's our foundation of our salvation, Jesus. Amen. He's the cornerstone. If any man build upon this foundation, so that's us as Christians. We're already on the foundation. We're on the rock, Jesus. We're building now something. We're building our Christian lives. Amen. But we're also building rewards, hopefully. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Now, there's going to be fire involved in this judgment. And so he's talking about three things that can survive the fire. Fiery gaze of Jesus Christ, and three things that, what? Burn up. He says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by, what? Fire. So this isn't the fire of hell. This is the fiery gaze of Jesus Christ, but it's a refining fire. Some of the things that we've done for Jesus Christ will burn up. There will be a big bonfire for a lot of Christians in heaven. It says, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So notice here again, he's talking about the quality more than the quantity, isn't he? What sort it is. Was it done for Jesus or was it done for the praise of man? Was it done in faithfulness or was it done out of sheer duty? And what will happen? If his works abide, he shall receive a reward. If his work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. So again, we're still going to go to heaven if we're saved, because it's not based on our works. It's based on Jesus Christ and what he did. But our rewards, what sort it is. And we find that God commends, so in Moses, we see it in others, and God commands in his children faithfulness. Amen? Faithfulness is one of those virtues that we can see, isn't it? That's why Paul said, commit thou to faithful men. You know, there's many virtues that we've talked about. You can't see them with your eyes, right? But you can see faithfulness. When someone's faithful, you can see it because you know they're going to be there. You always see them. You know, if you need help and they're always going to be there to help, you can see it. That's the person you can count on, a faithful person. And that's why Paul said to Timothy, I want you to commit to faithful men. And just as a virtue that every Christian is to possess, the alternative is that we faint, that we back off, that we quit, that we give up. And how many times are we told in scriptures not to faint? But let's look at a couple. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Brad, if you could read that for us. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Here he's talking about trials, if you look at the previous verses. And he says, for which cause we faint not. In other words, yeah, we're going to have trials. That is a fact of life for Christians. But that should not lead us to faint. And by fainting, there he's talking about giving up, backing off on our faithfulness. He says trials should not cause that in our lives. Galatians 6:9 is another one. Nathan, if you could read that for us. Galatians 6:9. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. How long is the due season? Anybody?
When Jesus comes last time?
Yes, it was a trick question. We don't know, do we?
No.
Only God knows. Only God knows in a particular situation, particular trial he's going to allow in our lives to refine us. It might be for a day. It might be for a decade. We don't know. In due season, we shall reap if we faint. Now, in other words, don't quit. Keep being faithful no matter what God allows in your life as far as trials and refinement goes. But whatever you do, don't quit. God is looking for faithfulness. Amen. Now, we talked about how we're stewards. It's required in stewards of man be found faithful. We're talking about being a servant. We're also a soldier. Can you imagine what would happen if soldiers on the battlefield in a war said, well, I've had enough. I'm going home. That just doesn't happen, does it? Soldiers don't do that. They don't say, well, I quit. This battle's too hard. I'm just going to go back home. Because they're faithful. They're steadfast. Amen. They just keep going. Because that's what soldiers do. My friend, we are soldiers, are we not? We're told that in 2 Timothy. Many, many verses in 2 Timothy. But chapter 2 primarily talks about us being soldiers. And how we're to fight. How we're to get rid of things in our lives that can hinder us from being the best soldier we can be. So in all three of those things that God has said that we are, a servant, a steward, and a soldier, God wants faithfulness. He wants faithful soldiers, he wants faithful servants, and he wants faithful stewards. Amen? So thoughts or questions about number 8? I didn't give you the number, but number 8 is faithfulness. Thoughts or questions about this Christian virtue every Christian is possessed? Most of you know Hebrews 10, but we can finish with that. Let's turn there. Hebrews 10, Isaiah, if you could read verses 24 and 25 for us.
Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching.
Amen. So here it's talking specifically about assembling, like what we're doing this morning. Let us provoke one another unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling. Hi, Ruel. Welcome. There's a class for the little ones. It's up to you if you want to take your child back for the little 2 to 4-year-olds. Roy, maybe you could help. So faithfulness. Any thoughts or questions about number 8, faithfulness? None? Nothing? Yes, Brother Mark.
It's one of the attributes that we can grow. When we do something, you can become faithful. You can become more faithful. In a sense, so you can work, if you're not faithful, in a sense, you can work on that attribute.
Absolutely.
Yes,
every Christian, yes, can come to that point where they decide, you know, I'm not faithful, but I can become faithful. Amen? And the other thing, you know, when it comes to that instruction that Paul gave to Timothy, he tells in another passage, he says, lay hands suddenly on no man. What does he mean by that? He means that if you're going to delegate leadership positions in your church, Timothy, you don't delegate to someone who just walked in the door and you don't know yet. You don't lay hands on them suddenly. You wait. And you know what you're watching? Are they faithful? Amen? Which is, again, something that we can grow, like Mark said, something that can be seen. If somebody just walks in the door and says, I'm faithful, well, we don't know if that's true, do we? They're just saying it, but we don't know until we watch them for a while, which is why Paul said, lay hands suddenly on no man. Take your time and watch them and see if they are faithful. Because faithfulness isn't something that you can just claim. It's only something that you can, what, display through your behavior. So any other thoughts or questions about faithfulness, number 8 in our 40 Christian Virtue Study? All right, let us go to 1 Corinthians 9 if we could. This one you probably would have never thought of. Starts with F. And that is flexibility. Now, I'm not talking about doing your Pilates. Okay? But as a Christian, God wants us to be flexible when it comes to witnessing to the lost. Amen? As we will see. So Mr. Scott's going to read for us 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 to 22. And just listen carefully as he reads, and you can see the flexibility.
For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant to all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them. That are under the law, to them that are without law, as without law, be not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I, as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might be all means, save some.
Notice the ultimate goal. In verse 22, is what? What's the purpose of being flexible? So they can be saved. Amen? I am made all things to all men. Now, he did put one limit on there, and when he says, talks about without law, it means I'm not going to delve into sin to win a sinner. But I am, if I'm reaching out to a non-Jew, I'm not going to talk about the Old Testament law. But he says, I am made all things to all men. I'm going to be as flexible as I can be to relate to people. Why? So that I can save some. Amen? So I can save some. The ultimate goal is for people to get saved. That's why Christ died. And Paul here is talking about his willingness to be flexible so that can happen. He also talks about it in chapter 10. Howard, if you could read verse 33 of 1 Corinthians 10. We'll see the flexibility of the Apostle Paul, and the only purpose of it is to win the lost. Howard?
Even as I please all men and all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved.
I please all men and all things. You see there the flexibility. What's the purpose? There it is again. That they may be saved. So God wants us to be flexible enough that when we are witnessing, we try to relate the best we can to the people we are witnessing to. And Paul says, if they are Jews, I'm a Jew. If they're under the law, I'm under the law. If they're without law, I'm without law. If they're weak, I'm weak. That's called relating or empathizing, isn't it? Why do I go through all of this? That they might be saved. Amen? That they might be saved. There's more, 2 Corinthians 6:3. Mr. Zeus, if you could read that for us.
Giving no offense in anything that the ministry being of blame.
In other words, to the best of my ability, Paul says, I'm not going to offend people and give them an excuse to blame the ministry and not trust Christ. Now, if you've been saved a while, you all know that the number one excuse that the world gives is for not going to church or for not being interested in spiritual things is always what? Hypocritical Christians, right? How many times have we all heard that? Those Christians are all a bunch of hypocrites. Part of that is they don't understand that we don't believe we're better than anybody else. We know we're just sinners. They don't understand that. They think that because we are Christians that we believe we're, as it says in Isaiah, holier than thou. We've all heard that phrase before. It comes from the Bible. We don't believe that. But they've worked with people or they've had interactions with people in the past that claim that they are Christians and yet their life doesn't back it up. And then they say, well, they're just a bunch of hypocrites. That's what Paul is saying here. I don't want the ministry to be blamed. I don't want to offend anybody because I want everybody to get saved. And that's what flexibility is all about. He mentions it again in Philippians 4:12. Mr. Cairns, could you read that for us?
I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer.
Paul said along the way, I'm basically everything I do, my entire life is for one purpose, that people can be saved. Amen? And that churches can get planted through those people that get saved. He says, and I know how to be hungry, I know how to be full, I know how to abound, and I know how to suffer need. And Paul definitely knew these things. He spent time in prison, shipwrecks, beatings. He says, why did I go through all of that? So people could be saved. That's true flexibility, isn't it? Galatians 5:13, Philip, one more verse here on flexibility. Ten, 20 years ago, this word liberty showed up among Christianity and they got way carried away with it. And they thought, oh, that just means we could do whatever we want. We can run church however we want. It can just be a big rock concert. No problems. That's kind of slowly faded. But what is it saying? We do have liberty. But he's talking about liberty from being bondage under the law. That's the liberty he's talking about. He's not saying that we have the liberty to go out and sin. We never have the liberty to do that because we love God and we're commanded to be holy. And he promises that if we do go out and sin, he's going to chastise us if we don't get it right. But he says, what's the purpose of the liberty? Not to please the flesh, but what? To serve others. Amen? You have the liberty to go out and serve others. That includes the lost, by the way. So this word flexibility, I know it's not in the Bible, but I couldn't come up with a better word to describe the virtue. And as far as memory verses, we've looked at them. 1 Corinthians 9:22, which says, I made all things to all men that I might save some. By all means, save some. Sorry. And then 1 Corinthians 10:33, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. So those are two good memory verses for flexibility. 1 Corinthians 9:22 and 10:33. Thoughts or questions about number 9, flexibility? Yeah, I'm sure if you were following along alphabetically, you didn't see that one coming.